All right, coming up here, almost to 7:41 on the Mighty 690. It is time for our Green Setup program, brought to you by the folks at Green Acres Landscaping. And we do have in the studio with us Holly Miner and James Goover from K-State Research and Extension's Wildcat District. Good morning, all. Good to have you in here.
Yeah, good morning.
So, yeah, we're having a nice week here weather-wise, and it's always good to get that little taste of spring. I know I'm raring to go.
We
still got
it's
a little ways to go, but
spring,
you know,
fever.
yep, it's sure happening. So, hey, I know Holly, it's been a long time no see. The Ham Radio Club meeting last night, so we're working on you.
Yeah, trying to
get you.
You're gonna have to work pretty hard.
Hey, that's all right. So, hey, what do we have? You want to any events and that sort of thing? I know we've got kind of some events that we're gonna talk about in detail here, but anything you want to hit off right off the bat?
Yeah, we have quite a few things going on and some long term multi session programs. So that's always fun. In April, we will be doing a Dining with Diabetes class in Parsons. So look for more information to come out on that after a while. We're still working on all the details, but it will be on Tuesday evenings. And that's a great class for anybody that is pre-diabetic or diabetic or is taking care of someone that is diabetic. So that's a great program, and it's a multi-session program. But we will be doing cooking in that class. So it's kind of fun. You get to prepare food and eat it and see what it tastes like. And so that's always a great experience for people to have and to be able to know that the recipes are easy to make and that they are diabetic friendly. We have our local food producers workshop, which is what I'm going to talk about in quite detail today. That's on February 23rd. And then we have our homesteading workshop series, which is coming up. It begins in March on the 7th, and it goes through May 9th. There's 10 different sessions. Those sessions will be located throughout the Wildcat District. And it's for that person that's a small producer or has a small little acreage and they want to learn how to do a lot of different things. So maybe they have some livestock, maybe they have some goats or some chickens. We want to talk with them about that. We want to talk with them about garden produce or fruit trees, those kinds of things. How to fence off some of those areas for their livestock, how to take care of their livestock. And then with their gardens, how to prepare the garden produce so that it can be saved for later. So we'll be talking about food preservation a little bit. James and I are going to do a session on fermenting.
Yeah, we're going to do fermenting like sauerkraut and kimchi and that kind of things, like how to do that safely.
But yeah.
Yeah, and then do one on growing mushrooms in your backyard.
Yes.
And so a lot of little fun stuff, honestly. And so all these are going to be like, most of them are going to be fairly hands-on, like activities, like showing people how to do some stuff. You know, and some will be kind of almost like a training event for just people with some small acreage, really. So.
Yeah. There's one on how to make soap. I'm excited to do that. James
too.
And I are going to be doing soap making class, yeah. So we'll follow James's lead on that. Yeah. And just fun stuff that I think, you know, a lot of people are trying to get back to making their food. You know, they know what goes into their food. They know what goes into what they're eating. And so just working with people on that. And I want to shout out to the Wildcat Extension Foundation for supporting that program and providing some funding for that program to happen. We were able to obtain funding through the foundation, and so our registration costs are very minimal, and so we really appreciate the foundation for doing that. They're our financial support, and it's great to have them support that program.
That is really neat, and I think there's definitely seems to be a growing interest in this whole homesteading idea. I don't know if I have my sixth sense out, you know, kind of in the 70s we kind of had the back to the land sort of movement and everything. I almost wonder if we're kind of going through that again, people wanting to get a little bit more back into nature and having that connection with the things that they're producing. So yeah. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, Holly's been sending us apparently a lot of other extension places, like out of Kansas, have been doing the exact same thing, you know, like homesteader, other things, people bringing people back.
Yeah.
And so it really kind of looks like sort of a social movement, which kind of makes sense. Like after the pandemic, there was sort of a movement in that direction. And so, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just
I think
right
with having the trouble of finding food, you know, you went to the grocery store and a lot of things that I normally purchased were not available. Mm-hmm. And so people are doing a lot more of those things. We have the Makers Fair coming up.
Yes.
And I'm going to let James talk about that because that's kind of his little thing. But I will talk about there will be food demonstrations at that. And one of those food demonstrations that we're going to be doing is bread making. And bread making is really ties in with the homesteading mm-hmm. well also. So the bread making, we're not going to be doing the sourdough bread, but sourdough bread is definitely something that homesteaders are coming back to and
because that's a whole thing. Like,
yes,
that's a whole
is.
different than if you've ever made bread before. It's
we
very,
might talk about yes. that at the fermentation workshop that we have. Or the other one, but you know.
Yeah. So the Makers Fair coming up, and that's March 16th.
March the 16th. It'll be from 9 to 1. Almost. Imagine this like a festival. Honestly, that's what the Makers Fair and open house is going to be. And so we're going to be demonstrating everything extension. And so, like, you know, the 4-H side, the vac side, the ag side are going to be demonstrations all throughout the day. You know, I'll do my mushrooms things. There's another agent going to do like growing herbs and the cooking demonstrations. A lot of kid activities too. It's gonna be fun for the kids. We have all kinds of stuff for them, like a petting zoo. Yeah. Some food trucks out there. You know, it's really gonna be a fun thing. And so, you know, part of this will also have local vendors. These local vendors are going to be people that make stuff, crafters, that will show people how to actually do a little bit of what they do. And so they'll bring their equipment. They'll be talking with people as they create stuff. And so I think people are going to be, it's going to be really fun for people who are crafters and for growers and hobbyists and that kind of thing. It's going to be, and it kind of fits in pretty well. It's going to be on March the 16th from 9 to 1. Parsons afterwards actually has some fun St. Patrick's Day stuff.
Yes.
Too. So we're fitting that right in before the other things. And, you know, they'll be at the Southeast Center there on the north side of Parsons.
Excellent.
And everything that day is free.
Oh, yeah, that's
so
true.
So there's no cost to it. Come out, enjoy the day, learn a little bit about extension, do some creative things. And that fits right in with homesteading, too, because mm-hmm. some of the things that they'll be doing there will fit right in with that. So
fantastic. Yeah. Well, lots of good events on the way. So, Holly, you mentioned this kind of farmer's market information and everything. So what is this all about? What is your upcoming event, and who is this going to be for?
So it's the Local Producers Workshop, and it's on Friday, February 23rd. It will be from 9 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon. And check-in will begin about 8:30 in the morning. It will be held at the Parsons Research Center on Ness Road in Parsons. And this is a regional event. So this is for anybody that grows and would like to sell produce or homemade items, home-baked or some canning things at local farmers markets. And so this event gives you a lot of information. That we have a lot of speakers that are coming. There's a whole day's worth of speakers and some keynote speakers. We have Misty Morning Farms are going to come and talk, and they're going to be our keynote speaker. We have an introduction to high tunnels. So if you're interested in getting into high tunnels, this will be a great way to learn the basics about that. Of course, we have sales tax that we have to charge in Kansas. So there'll be a little session about that. There'll be some regulations for selling meat and poultry. So if we have some of these homesteader people that are raising a little bit of beef and they want to sell some of their beef or their poultry to other people, this will help them get started and understand some of the regulations that are involved in that. We're going to have a session on coaching new vendors and businesses at the farmers market. So come in and learn a little bit about that. We will also have the Kansas Department of Ag and Kansas State Research and Extension specialists from Manhattan come, and they will talk about the support of producers selling local food. So there'll be an update on food safety, which includes produce growers' inventories, a lot of things about good farming practices for growers, and then a lot of information about if you are selling canned goods at a farmer's market, some of the things that you need to take into consideration with that. We will also have a session on accepting SNAP benefit at the farmers market, and Double Up Food Bucks. So those are two great programs that SNAP participants, and Double Up Food Bucks is open to anybody that is also a SNAP participant. So there'll be sessions on how to accept those funds and how that will benefit the farmer as well as the person that's on those benefits. We'll also have a regulation for selling eggs and processed and prepared foods. So maybe you have a favorite cake recipe or a cookie recipe, or you make pies or bread. All of those things will have information about how to label those products, how to identify any allergens that might be in those products, and some of the regulations that go along with that. Selling eggs, you know, how to make sure that they're being kept cold and all of those things. So again, Kansas Department of Ag and the Kansas State Research and Extension Kansas Value Added Foods Lab directors will be there to talk about those kinds of things. And then we'll round out the day by having an introduction to record keeping and farm business management. And then the Kansas Senior Farmers Market Nutrition Program certification training will take place at 2:00. Excuse me. That every Kansas senior can request vouchers that can be used at the farmers market. And I think that's something that a lot of people may not be aware of. But in order for the farmers market vendors to take that, they have take those vouchers, they have to have this training. So it's important that those farmers market vendors get this training, and this is a way for them to get that locally here and not have to go somewhere else to get it. It's an hour-long training, so it's not a lot, but then you can take those senior farmers market vouchers, which allow seniors to be able to come and get produce at the farmers market for free. And so I believe it's 35. I don't know. You'll learn all about it on that day. I know enough just to be dangerous. Sure. But that's another great program, just as well as the SNAP and Double Up Food Bucks programs.
There's a heck of a lot going on with the farmer's market. It's not just, you know, showing up and setting up a table. there's a lot.
There's a lot of stuff. And then we'll have a few we will have a few informational booths available as well. I forgot, during lunch we'll have a couple ladies come and talk to us about farm to plate. So if that's something that you're interested in, lunch is provided for the day. There is a small fee registration. If you register by tomorrow, the cost is reduced, and then after tomorrow the cost goes up $5 more. So, and there's free scale certification. So if anybody needs to have their scale certified, if they sell their produce by weight, there will be free scale certification done that day as well.
Wow. That's a one-stop shop.
Yes. Get everything you need to have done all in one place. Visit with specialists that are versed in all of those areas, and come out and enjoy the day.
That's great. So if someone is just tuning in, can you remind us the date, time, and location?
Yes, it is February 23rd. It's a Friday from 9 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon. Check-in starts at 8:30. The cost is $20 by tomorrow, and then $25 after that. Lunch is provided, and it is at 25092 Ness Road in Parsons at the Southeast Regional Extension Center, out there by Highway 400 and Ness Road.
Great. And if someone does want to register today or by tomorrow, what's the best way to do that?
They can call 620-421-4826 or go to www.kansaslocalfoods.org to get more information or to register. They could also call any one of our local offices in the Wildcat District, and we would be sure and help them get through that process.
Excellent. Well, that sounds really good. And, you know, even things like, people might not even realize that you need to have those ingredients listed out, or maybe a baked good or something like that. I mean, you might not know that, you know, these things do need to be done if you're going to try to follow all the rules.
Yes. All important stuff. And, you know, a lot of people have allergens, and listing those allergens on that label just makes it a lot less stressful for you. You don't have to answer a lot of questions, and you have that label on there, and then people can read and see what the ingredients are. And there's a lot of people that aren't aware of that requirement to have that on there.
Yeah, so just a little bit of that will go a long way. And, hey, put your phone number on there, too, so that, hey, they can call and order more, maybe. So
there you go. That's some good stuff. That's right.
So that's a really great event, Holly. I appreciate you bringing that to our attention. And, of course, really exciting with all the homesteading program that's coming up. That sounds very enjoyable. So that's going to be
There's a lot of things coming up here in March and the end of February and on into April. So we're excited to be able to offer all these programs to everybody and hope everybody comes out and takes advantage of them.
Absolutely. All right. So, James, what do we have coming up in our next segment?
So I'm going to talk a little bit about cover crops, but for your garden. And so some ideas, you know. You can do it in the field. You can also have cover crops in your garden, too. So.
Okay, that's on the way. Keep you here on the Mighty 690. We will be keeping up to date as we continue our green setup program with the folks from the Wildcat Extension District here on the Mighty 690 KGGF. Back here on the Mighty 690 at 8:10 as we go throughout a Wednesday edition of the program. We continue our Green Side Up program brought to you by the folks at Green Acres. And we do have in studio Holly Miner and James Cooper. Good morning once again.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So here in this next segment, we're going to have a run through again of some of our special events at the end. But wanted to go ahead and get into our topic here with James about cover crops in a garden. But first, we'll go and do that, and then we'll run through some of those events.
So. Yeah, sounds good. So, you know, we normally think about cover crops. We normally think about fields, right?
Yeah.
Crop fields. And so, I mean, really, but however, we can do the exact same thing in our gardens, too. The same species of plants, a lot of the same timing and everything with that, too. And so it has the same soil health benefits, so improving microbial activity, you know, water infiltration, basically water management of a number of ways, and really just bringing up nutrients. The whole thing is right there. It also kind of helps break up the plow pan of the soil. And gardens have pretty good plow pans most of the time.
So for those of us who don't know, what is a plow pan?
A plow pan, you know, we have a lot of clay around here. I mean, everybody knows that. And so, but beneath that, where that tiller runs or where you run the tractor over to break it up in the spring, there's going to be a layer of clay that gets packed really tight. And so it's hard for roots to grow down into. It's hard for water to get through. And so that is the plow pan, because it's literally formed by a plow, in this case a tiller or a tractor. And so that can be pretty severe in a garden, because we run over a garden a lot, usually more than in a field. And so those plow pans, they're going to affect your vegetable crops just the same as your effective field. And so cover crops that can also keep winter weeds down, you know, through the winter months. It can actually also act as a mulch for transplants later on too. And so there's a lot of benefits, just like there are a lot of benefits for cover crops for agricultural fields. Same thing, benefits for garden plants too.
Excellent. So what are some of the best options for these cover crops in gardens?
So like ag fields, cereal rye is going to be probably one of the most popular. And so it's very adaptable. It's very cold tolerant. It has an incredibly fibrous, huge root system. And also it will create a lot of biomass. The one thing, though, is it's too late to plant it now. You can plant it now, but it's not going to be very big. For the most part, that kind of needs to be planted in the fall. Pretty much after you get, you know, the first frost, you get your tomatoes out and all that, that's when you put down the cereal rye. And however, it has some other abilities. Like, it has an allelopathic ability. What that means is it creates a chemical through its roots that inhibits the growth of other plants. And so it prevents weeds from germinating and from growing. And so for cover crops and fields, this is a very big aspect, honestly, because it keeps down those pigweeds and other weeds that kind of start early on and then get a little bit bigger. Horsetail, for instance, that's something that germinates pretty much all year round, it seems like. But that's the same thing in a garden. It'll keep a lot of that stuff down. So, you know, that is one aspect of cereal rye, is that you can't, ideally speaking, you don't want to leave it interseeded. So you don't want cereal rye growing at the same time as your other plants. because those allelopathics can start to affect them. Personally, I think that a tomato and peppers are probably too big to be affected too much, but still, to be on the safe side, you got to get rid of that stuff. And, you know, what you can use for cereal rye, I mean, you have to, basically what that means is you need to terminate that before you start to get to planting anything as far as that's concerned. And so it's really good for your tomatoes and peppers, like that side of your, where you need a lot of mulch, you're going to lay down anyway. Cereal rye can really fit in with that spot pretty well.
Gotcha. So now, as far as, you know, things that can be planted now, do we have any options on that?
So you can plant rye now, but it's not going to get very big. So oats are probably a better option at this point. There is a difference between spring oats and winter oats, but for the most part, you just kind of just used oats. Oats, they are not going to get as big as rye. I mean, rye planted in the fall, it's going to be way bigger, so it's not going to have as much biomass. You're probably going to plant it a little bit denser just because of that. But they germinate when it's pretty cold still. And so right now is actually when you put in spring oats. And even though it's the soil temperatures are pretty cold, they will actually germinate even in these temperatures. So they will form a mat of biomass, just the same as anything else. Really, wheat can probably be used now too. And so it's kind of odd to think about wheat, but you just use cheap bin run wheat is what we call it, you know, in farming. It's just whatever comes out of the bin. Honestly, I mean, wheat isn't going to germinate as well as oats because it's a little bit more temperature sensitive, but it'll still work. It's going to grow a little bit slower, but you're going to terminate that wheat long before anything. I mean, it can't form a seed head because it has to fertilize first. That's not going to happen. In this case, it's just going to grow up a little bit and then you're going to terminate it. So it's okay to do that either way.
Gotcha. Now, anything else that we could potentially use as a cover crop?
So, you can. There's a whole world of broadleaves that are possible. I mean, I'm talking tillage radishes. There's brassicas. There's clovers. There's winter peas. There's, I don't know, there's safflower. I mean, there's like 30 or 40 of them, honestly, that you can mix in. For the most part, I don't suggest making a giant mix of things. We tend to do that in ag too, and yeah, just keep it simple, honestly. I mean, some grass, if you want to stir in some clovers or something like that, that's perfectly fine. The thing though is that all the broadleaves, at least most of them anyway, they need to be seeded in the fall, just because they grow a lot slower. None of them will germinate this temperatures. So they need to be put in late September to early October with the rye, intermix that stuff. So that way you got some good growth to it before you get into this time frame. If you plant a brassica this time of year, nothing will happen. It just does not have the right time frame. It's going to be tiny little 2 inches tall before you have to terminate it. It's not worth it. So
speaking of, you know, like termination and all that sort of thing, I mean, wouldn't the rye and oats be competition for the garden once we get into like our growing season?
They can be. And so you have to plan things correctly. Yes. And so you do have to terminate it all. You can till those in if you do it early enough, basically before they turn into a giant weed. Honestly, you can till that stuff in, and for the most part, they're not really very good at coming back to life. I mean, it's not like tilling in Bermuda grass. Like, oh, that doesn't do anything. It just comes right back.
Oh, yeah.
And so these don't have those stolons and rhizomes and stuff that will allow them to do that. Usually, it'll be easier just to spray them with glyphosate, which is Roundup or otherwise. I mean, lots of names, brand names for that. But that glyphosate, they're not resistant to anything. And so grasses are pretty susceptible to glyphosate. A light application is just going to toast them. In ag, we, especially up north, we can roll them over and crush them. It's a very common practice. In the garden, I don't think that's going to be as easy because you won't have the equipment to do that. But it is something that's possible. It just won't give you a full kill. So if you want some sort of no-till organic method of terminating a cover crop, you can crush them. I'm not exactly sure how you can do that with just stuff laying around the yard. But it doesn't always get a full kill. Basically, what it's doing is it's if you crush the stem enough times, but you don't fully cut it off, the plant will try to repair itself to the point it kills itself. Hmm. And so that's the method of doing that. But you will probably end up with some of those rye that survive, and you might have to go out there and, you know, use a hoe or hand pull them later on. So just keep that in mind if you want to do that way. And so since oats and rye are grasses, it is possible to also use a herbicide after you've put the transplants in, because there are herbicides that are specifically for grasses that don't hurt, you know, broadleaves like tomatoes. And so you can keep that in mind, especially if you want to do something like spring oats that's not going to get very big. And so you can put those transplants in and then treat those later on with something that's very specific. Keep that in mind. Glyphosate is not specific. It has to be something that's just for grasses. And so for the most part, you really don't want to let that rye get too big, because that's rye can get huge. I mean, I'm talking like 4 feet tall. If it's starting to bloom on you, you've waited too long. Okay, so it can be hard to kill at that point, and it can't outcompete the crop, because garden crops, they're kind of slow. And you know, ideally speaking, you're not going to do this for the whole garden either. All right, because you have your cold crops too. You have your radishes, your lettuce, and those need to be planted early. They're not really going to fit in the same time frame as a cover crop, so you might want to just leave that part of the garden blank, like normal tillage and all that, because it's not going to be a very big spot of the garden anyway. If you're a garden like my garden, most of my garden is going to be sweet corn, peppers, and tomatoes, because they're easy. So most of your garden can actually be cover crop. But you need to rotate your garden areas anyway. You should already be doing this for disease control. And so you're moving that cover crop around throughout the winter seasons as well. So for the most part, just have a plan. Keep in mind that this stuff is going to be there. You don't want it to become a weed. You want it to prevent weeds. So
excellent. So anything else that we should know about the world of cover crops in the garden?
So, you know, like I was saying before, make a plan first. So know how you're going to control this stuff. Know what you're going to plant into what. I mean, because you can't, you have a rye cover crop, you plant some corn into it, for instance, and you're like, oh, I'm going to terminate it later. There's no way to do that because they're both grasses. And so let's say you plant some potatoes, though. Potatoes take forever to come up. You can terminate a cover, some grass on top of potatoes because they're different and potatoes take forever. So, you know, I'm talking about cereal rye. I also want to say that I mean cereal rye. There's different types of rye out there. Don't go to the store or wherever and just get a bag that says rye. That's annual rye, okay? It's mixed with grass seeds. Those are two completely different things, okay?
Yeah, that might not be
so,
good.
Yeah, those are basically, they're little tiny seeds, and it'll be almost, you can't actually use that annual rye, what we call Italian rye around here, as a cover crop. We do, actually. But it's a very aggressive grass. It's going to require chemical control to kill, because if you just till that in, it's probably not going to kill it. So just keep that in mind. Get the right species. So
some good words of thought here. So James, if people do have questions on this or any other crop kind of related topic, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Then give me a call. A lot of this that we talked about today is a little bit on Jesse's side,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
But for the you can call either one of us at 620-724-8233.
Okay. And let's run through, if you want, just a few of those upcoming events. If folks didn't catch the very beginning of the program here, what do we have coming up in the Wildcat District?
Yeah, so I'll go fast for this. So tomorrow, I actually have a State Lines Crop Conference. I'll be in Lamar, Missouri. And so we're going to talk about everything crops. I'm actually going to present a little bit on that one. So after that, we have Wendy's Animal Health Day. I'm sure that she's announced that already. It'll be on March the 7th. Maker's Fair, that we talked about, the big festival.
Yes.
That we're going to do everything. It's going to be a fantastic time. That'll be on March the 16th in Parsons from 9 to 1. We also, in March, begins our Homesteader Series, which is going to be every Thursday all throughout the district. that'll be the hands-on workshops.
And all of those workshops are at 6 o'clock. So if you work during the day, you're able to come out and join us for those.
Yes, yeah. And so they'll be every Thursday at 6 o'clock all mm-hmm. throughout the district. Well, there's other stuff too. We have tractor safety on March the 12th, the Davis tractor safety stuff.
And that's usually during spring break, right?
Yes. So you always put that spring break because that's an all day thing for the kids. I'm sure David will come and talk about that more later. We also have a grazing conference that will be on April the 6th. And so we have the NRCS, the Grassland Council, they're all going to be coming. And we're going to do basically a 2-day conference, but it's split by months apart. The first one is going to be on April the 6th. It's at the Parsons Research Center as well. And so we have so much going on. It's going to be a lot of fun.
There's a lot of stuff.
There's a lot of stuff. And a lot of stuff for, like, you know, hobbyists and just people with small acreage, really. So I really hope people stay tuned and get some spring fever, because that's really what gets people out and come to this stuff. Yeah. So we're not going to help your spring fever. We're going to make it worse, is what I'm trying to say, by all the fun stuff that we're going to get into.
I think that's
going
to be great. And then, Holly, you want to remind us on the local producers workshop?
Yeah, the local food producers workshop on February 23rd from 9 to 3. This is another great thing. It kind of ties right in with what James was talking about with your garden. If you overproduce at your garden, you can take it to your local farmer's market and sell stuff there. So come to the producer's workshop to learn about all of the different things that will help you be able to do that more efficiently.
Yeah. Happy Excellent. Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
That's and right. to my wife and baby boy, who I'm sure my wife is listening. But
yeah, there you go. There's your Valentine's wish right there.
There you go.
All right. Well, it's been great to have you on, Holly and James. Look forward to chatting again soon.
Thanks, James. Thanks.
All right. That is our Green Setup program here on the Mighty 690, brought to you by Green Acres Landscaping. And, of course, we will have the check of open line coming up here in just a few minutes. And then Candy Westbrook from the Coffeyville Chamber of Commerce. It's on the way here on KGGF.